Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events in our central Iowa community. Thank you for tuning in today. I am Mike Metz, and will be your host for the hour, along with engineer Mike Murphy and our Milford Township neighbor and resident naturalist, Pat Schlierbaum. And because KHOI is the heart of our Iowa community, Anna Magnuson, alias Anna Banana, will be joining us later in the hour, sharing her heart-to-heart and tune-in Tuesday messages. Last week and towards the weekend on Saturday, but it turned out to be a really nice day. And you had a chance to attend that Hickory Park Lake rededication program that was going on. And I know you visited briefly with some folks, and you had got a chance to do an interview with Craig Myers, right?
He's the president of the Story County Conservation Board.
Yeah.
And a chairman, please. Yeah. Sorry about that. And it's always good to have an opportunity to associate with these conservation leaders And boy, there was quite a gathering there on Saturday at the Hickory Grove Lake dedication.
Yeah, so let's listen to that interview you had with Craig.
Well, Craig Myers, you've probably seen this Hickory Grove Lake since the very start.
Not since the very start. I moved to Story County in 2006.
Oh, okay. But this is very long-standing.
Oh, yeah.
Of the county. I think it started maybe back in the 60s. Well, what does it mean to you to have a lake of this caliber?
Well, it means a lot to me. In fact, I moved here from Polk County. I wanted to move out in the country, and I drove by this park, and this is one of the reasons I moved here. And I live within a couple of miles from here. So,
Ed, you're a conservation leader. Has that been your profession? Or?
No, I worked in K-12 education my whole career, but it's always been conservation related.
Yeah. Well, see, you're the multiplier effect that we all look for. You know, your influence over the youth of tomorrow and what they can bring to conservation necessities. How necessary was this project?
It was very necessary. One of the things we're trying to do is provide always better and more opportunities for outdoor recreation and for the people in the county, youngsters and old alike. And we worked a number of years kind of behind the scenes here, really working on the watershed, improving water quality of the water that was feeding the lake. And then once we got a lot of that out of the way, then we could start to do the more visible things and improve the lake itself.
So those farming practices of cover crops and terracing and waterways, that's all pretty important to this lake.
It's very important. A lot of the issues we had were nutrient flow and sediment flow from those areas into the lake that were causing problems.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, it's a new day.
It's a new day.
And a great gathering you've got here. Thanks for your time here before we get started.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Craig.
If you are just tuning in, I am Mike Metz along with Pat Schlierbaum, and we just listened to an interview with Craig Myers, the Story County Conservation Board Chair for this year. And Pat had a chance to visit with him out at Hickory Grove Park Lake rededication. Pat, we've got another interview that you were able to do. Why don't you go ahead and introduce it?
Well, the previous director before Mike Cox was Steve Lekwa, and what a history this gentleman has contributed to Story County. I learned that, that Hickory Grove Park was the headquarters for the Story County Conservation Board back before there was a McFarland Park. But in the early 1970s, Steve was hired on and has really ushered in quite an era of conservation here for Story County, and I think is largely responsible for the McFarland Nature Center.
I know I can attest to that headquarters change in that for a while they were holding the public or their normal meetings at the State Forest Nursery. It was a little bigger so the public could be involved there as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of history.
It's always kind of worked well with the Ames community. But Steve Lekwa, what a tall tree when it comes to conservation leaders of Story County.
Well, let's listen to that interview.
Steve Lekwa, a pretty tall tree in the conservation world, particularly here at Story County. So good to have you join us here on Local Talk. You have probably one of the longest memories of anybody I know when it comes to conservation matters in Story County. Did I hear you say that you came here first in 1971?
Actually, now that I think it's probably 72 when I came out and met Bob Pinicky, because I went to work here in 73 in January.
You were one of the original park rangers here?
Actually, I wasn't hired here. I was hired for the new park they were then getting started on, McFarland Park.
But the headquarters were here.
It's still here, and it was for many years afterward.
You mentioned Bob Pinicky, and I think it was his landscape architect project in college that kind of designed
this.
Well,
he started here as their first employee, at least first full-time employee, in about 66 or 67 when he was still in college. And I was just getting started in college in that time.
What was your impression driving into Hickory Park in 1972?
why didn't they tell us about this when I was in college? You know, we were graduating with degrees in fish and wildlife biology, outdoor recreation, so on and so forth. The story of county conservation, though it existed in Iowa, was hardly known and wasn't talked about at Iowa State University.
Interesting.
I worked for a while for the DOT, for the local gas station, learned some good stuff there, and then finally said, this is not getting me any closer to work in conservation. I'll go down to the DNR and talk to them down there.
Oh, and that was the Iowa Conservation Commission.
Well, back in the old building.
Yeah.
There met a guy by the name of Bob Walker, who was a local native.
With the County Conservation Board
later,
system.
Yes, right. And Bob said, well, you ought to get to meet Bob Pinnicky, and here's a plan for a new park they're getting ready to start building on. You'd be interested in this. Of course, I knew the area. I knew McFarland Park and fished there when I was in high school. It wasn't a park yet. It was still Ernie McFarland's. Yes, I was interested. Made an appointment to come out and meet Bob. We spent part of an afternoon all over the park, walking, looking at things.
Not here at Hickory Grove.
Yeah, at Hickory Grove here, right.
Were you impressed with the big bur oak trees? Or
I loved that. The white oaks, the big old white oaks down by Oil Ridge Lodge.
Yeah.
Wish there were more of them around the county like that. I was impressed that the lake was here and that there was a boat on the lake. And again, I just couldn't believe that. Why didn't they tell us about these opportunities? At the time, if you wanted to get a job with the DNR or with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, where I'd had some summer experience, you just about had to be a wounded veteran with a straight-A college resume and all the bonus points you could get to even get in. Of course, I didn't have any of that.
From 72, and then you gainful employment,
right.
And you were here, and you saw growth and development, I'm
right.
Sure.
McFarland Park was in the rough then. They kept it mowed. There was just a grassy area. They kept mowed a little tighter for a parking area, and they had an old trailer house parked here for the resident caretaker. I spent a lot of that first year over here where there was more work to do. I'd mow once a week or so during the season. But by 74 in the summer, there was a lot of development work starting to go on in McFarland. The whole idea of the Skunk River Greenbelt was being talked up big time. The last big round of meetings and controversy with the Corps of Engineers about Skunk River Reservoir was going on at that time.
That's another story entirely.
That goes way back into my grade school years that I remember. But knowing the people in the valley and getting involved with development at McFarland Park, laying out the trails, working with the Youth Conservation Corps, many great memories through that.
All those things that kind of strengthen our community through communication with the youth. But we only get so many opportunities on the radio to have enough time to go over everything, but I'd be remiss not to mention the prairie. As I came in today, probably the most freestanding compass plants seeding I've seen.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. A lot of them this year.
And you, you kind of spearheaded or guided a lot of that prairie.
Yes. That was, there weren't very many of us back there in the mid-70s that dealt in prairie. And we thought we knew quite a bit then, but we knew almost nothing compared to now. We planted things that we wish we wouldn't have, and there were still things going on, like planting multiflora rose, planting autumn olive.
Honeysuckle.
Great wildlife habitat.
Yeah.
And if it only stayed put, maybe it would have been. We made some of the same mistakes with prairies, but we've learned an awful lot. Adding forbs was novel at the time. Now that's really where it's at.
And those are the flowers.
Those are the flowering
used
plants.
Used to be just the habitat. We'd look at the tall grasses.
Or a pure stand of switchgrass or something.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that was the first CRP fields were pure switchgrass. Yeah. Probably better than picked cornfield from a nesting or winter cover standpoint. Worthless for brood rearing for wildlife.
I guess the value is in that diversity of plant
diversity.
Community and the insects that pollinate.
That's
and
correct.
Work with each of the
pollinator habitat. Now they talk about native prairie, but that's really what we're after, is more and more and more flowering plants. That's what fuels the insects, that's the songbirds, the game birds. Nothing happens without the bugs, without that protein source, and flowers is what brings them.
I don't know if we'd have said that 50 years ago, but it really does.
Probably
seem
didn't
to be,
understand it clearly then. You'd ask, what does a pheasant eat? They'd say, well, corn.
Okay.
But not until they're months and months old, and that to grow from that little ping pong ball of fluff to a 2-pound bird in a few months, with a lot of animal protein in the form of bugs.
Yeah, a lot of. How about the last time you came and had some quiet moments here in Hickory Grove? Does anything kind of stand out there?
It was last night. My wife and I came out. I've been monitoring the bluebird boxes out here for the last two summers. We were going around checking them, and I'm convinced that the pair that raised a brood of four down by the archery range on the south side of the lake is the same pair that was there last year, because they did the same thing this year. They raised that brood, waited for the tree swallows to clear, and the nest box across the road and just down the road a little ways farther east. And as soon as the tree sparrow, I pulled that nest a week ago, came back this week. Here's a brand new bluebird nest with two eggs in it already. The same pattern that they used last year, and I'm convinced that sometimes pairs stick around and follow those patterns if they're successful.
That's pure gold right there, young man. I wonder if it's getting closer to the mulberries this time of year.
Almost past.
Well, it
minor. The raspberries are coming on strong if they get some moisture. That's the problem with raspberries. They'll be just little buckshot berries.
Full of flavors.
Yeah.
It's good that you see those patterns in wildlife.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you have a commitment
to
working in an area, and just it kind of grows on you, I guess.
Yeah.
And it continues
to grow. It's good
to
come out here and occasionally stumble across some of the staff when they're out here working on things and get caught up on things. I was over at the shop here a couple of weeks ago. It's about a month ago now. We built a lot of that ourselves on the interior, the original office over there, back in the 70s. Completely remodeled and upgraded, and it's such a beautiful job. Some real workmanship there.
Well, there's been growth and development. Thank you for yours.
Yeah.
Got another program coming on here.
It's been great watching this new crew, some great people out here working. I really appreciate Luke. Mike has done a tremendous job as the director.
Thank you for all you do for conservation.
You're most welcome, Pat.
Relax the cool in the gang there for a minute while we thought about Steve Lekwa's interview with Pat Schlierbaum there. He was a past director of Story County Conservation Board, and gosh, Pat, he sure has a lot of knowledge and history. He's a great historian when it comes to county conservation and those kinds of things as far as Story County.
And if you noticed, he's still a resident naturalist going out and stewarding the bluebirds there at Hickory Grove. And he was probably one of the key people back in the 70s when bluebirding kind of got started. They're just a wonderful bird that people put out the boxes for, and he's still taking care of the bluebirds. So what a great opportunity to learn some things about our one of our key resident naturalists, Steve Lekwa.
Well, if you are just tuning in, I am Mike Metz, along with Pat Schlierbaum, engineers Mike Murphy, and Anna Banana Magnuson will join us shortly towards the end of the hour. But we'd like to now welcome Erica Place, Outreach Coordinator for Story County Conservation. Hello, Erica.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing great here. What a great time of year. And, you know, I've got to just, it's kudos to what your gang, what your group did for the Hickory Grove Park rededication. I think the folks that were out there, especially the little kids that were running around, seemed to really be enjoying themselves.
Oh, gosh, yes. And, you know, during that interview with Steve Lekwa, you could just hear the hustle and bustle in the background.
Yeah.
It was a busy day.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the weather held out for us. There was a little bit of a threat of rain that afternoon, but despite that, I think there were still several hundred people in the park enjoying the activity.
Yeah,
it was a good event.
It was an event for all ages, and the community of Colo were also doing their thing there, their celebration. So I think it was well attended and a great program. So hope you do something like that again at another park, if not there.
Yeah, well, hopefully when we hold an event like that in the future at Hickory Grove, we'll also be able to enjoy the lake. We just... Yeah, just need a little bit more rain.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Erica, what have you got for us as far as what's going on Story County Conservation's timetable on your calendar for the next month?
Well, you know, I've plugged this before on this station, and it's still worth mentioning. We have a couple more evening prairie walks scheduled at Doolittle Prairie, which is just south of Story City. Those walks are led by Dr. Tom Rasberg, who is just an absolute wealth of knowledge. If you want to learn things about prairie, this is the hike for you. And it's a very informal, about an hour and a half walk around one of Story County's hidden gems. It's the largest prairie remnant in Story County, and it is just beautiful. And you can notice from month to month just how much changes. You know, in Pat's interview with Steve, he was talking about just all the work that has gone into restoring prairie and the compass plants, I agree, are just huge this year. There are so many of them, and Blazing Star is out in full force. It's just amazing all the different colors and variety of species that are out at Doolittle Prairie in particular. So we have a couple more of those on the schedule, like I mentioned. There is one coming up just in about a week here, July 22nd, so next Thursday, and then we'll have one at the end of August, August 26th. Those are in the evening, so hopefully works, you know, for most people's schedules from 7 to 8:30 p.m. We do ask that you register for that so we know that you're coming in case weather changes and we need to let people know that there's been a change of plans. We need to be able to contact you about that. So please head out to our website and register for those if you want to learn a little bit more about prairie or just enjoy a nice evening walk outside.
And from past experience, I can really echo what you're saying. That's a great time. And yes, Dr. Tom Rosberg sure knows his prairie plants in general. What else have you got on that calendar of events?
Well, you know, a lot of the other programs we have going on in the remainder of July have filled. They were very popular opportunities, some water sport activities. But we are looking ahead to August, September, and October. We don't have these posted on our website quite yet for registration, but we will here in the next couple of days, I think, have this stuff ready for you to register. We have some different nature play programs coming up in August. One is about insects. So children will get a chance to learn a little bit about what insects are out in the prairie in particular, and then catch and, you know, investigate the things that they've been able to capture. Another program is specifically about spiders, something that a lot of people have, you know, a fear of. And this program will just really explore why spiders are important, why we should care about them, just how many different types of spiders there are, and again, give you an opportunity to look at some up close. We also have a lot of volunteer opportunities, too. Some are related to removing invasive species. We do still have some open volunteer water quality monitoring positions. So you can sign up to monitor a site in Story County, and this would be, you know, a visit that you'd make twice a month to collect water quality data like fluoride, phosphorus, nitrates, all these different pieces of information that over time will help build baseline data for the health of streams in Story County. So we can be more effective and more informed about where our focus for water quality improvements need to be in the future. Which brings me to something that I want to mention. It's very exciting for Story County. Yesterday, we had a new position added to Story County Conservation, and that is a watershed coordinator, which is a position we've been wanting for quite some time now. And the person we hired is Sarah Carmichael. She's coming to us from Iowa Rivers Revival. She was the executive director there. And her role is basically, in a nutshell, to coordinate water quality improvements in Story County under direction of the Watershed Assessment Working Group, which is a group made up of elected officials and department heads in county departments whose jobs have something to do with water quality. So a really exciting position. We're very thrilled to have Sarah be the new member on our team. She comes with a lot of experience, and we know that she'll be able to help us make some good decisions and really some tangible results about water quality improvements in Story County in the future.
Well, if I can just put in a plug for Sarah, I would say if we can let her get her feet wet, So to say, and then maybe have her on the program in a future and find out a little bit more about that position. I had the chance to meet with her briefly last night at your board meeting, and seems like a perfect fit for that position.
Absolutely. Like I mentioned, she comes with a lot of experience in outreach and education, coming from Iowa Rivers Revival, and I think she'd be thrilled to come speak on this program. But yes, let's her get her feet wet, so to say.
Erica, this is Pat Schlarbaum, and I think it would be good to point out that had there been a watershed coordinator back in the 1970s when Hickory Grove was under construction and that lake was filling up, we may not have had to do this rededication. So the watershed work is something that people have grown into. It wasn't there back in the 70s. They just put up a dam and enjoy the water until the lake filled in with silt. And so having the creation of a coordinator is what great timing. It just really goes to show.
Absolutely. And like Steve mentioned in regards to Prairie, we've learned so much over the years about how to do different conservation practices. You know, our best management practices have evolved, and the lakes have a lifespan. So we're happy that, you know, the Hickory Grove Lake Restoration is under our belt. And we're looking to some more in the future. In the next couple years, residents can expect McFarland Lake to undergo a restoration as well. We're in the beginning stages right now of kind of reimagining all the different recreation opportunities we want to make more accessible and more enjoyable. So that might look like adding some different access points for kayak or canoe launches at McFarland Lake. Right now it's not real easy to get your boat in the water if you want to paddle around just because of the slope of the bank. But also, you know, what can we add to better facilitate education for field trips or other public programs, different access points along the lake, better places for fishing or other recreation activities. And then, of course, just addressing the health of the ecosystem, making sure we're removing sediments and addressing shoreline stabilization. So there's a lot of work that's slated here in the next couple of years, but we're just in the beginning stages of that right now. And yes, great timing to have a watershed coordinator joining our team.
We know a biometrician with the fisheries group with the Iowa DNR. You've probably heard him on our program in the past, Jeff Kapaska. And one of the favorite sayings that he espouses is, it's always less expensive to keep the water clean than to have to clean it up after we've messed it up. So that's paraphrasing it somewhat. But boy, a watershed coordinator, definitely timely and needed. Not only here, but throughout the state, but Story County, again, is leading the way.
We're pretty excited that this position has been added to our team, and I think she'll be able to accomplish some great things. So folks can be sure they'll be hearing more from Sarah very soon.
Great. Anything else to add before we close, Erica?
Just get outside and enjoy this beautiful weather. You know, we had some pretty warm temperatures for several weeks, and it's a little more tolerable outside right now, and we got some moisture. So things are starting to green back up. I was just looking yesterday at a patch of jewelweed at McFarland Park that had been looking really wilty and sad, but it perked back up and is getting ready to bloom. So if you don't know what jewelweed is, Google it, look it up. It's a pretty fun little plant. And when it's ready to disperse seeds, they just explode out of the pod like little fireworks. So you should check it out. It's a lot of fun. I'm excited that it's gotten some life back into it with the recent rain. So yeah, get out and explore and see what you can find.
And for some folks that may be into medicinals a little bit, we always, it's usually associated with wood nettle, and it helps if you rub, if you've brushed against the wood nettle and rub a little of that jewelweed salve on it, it kind of helps placate that that sensation somewhat. So
we've heard that. I've not tried it.
Well, if nothing else, it sure seems to work for me. And Pat attests to it. He's raising his hand right now. Really a good gesture for radio. Well, thanks, Erica. And we'll be looking forward to visiting with you again next month at about the second week, second Tuesday in the month. And have a great outdoor day.
Sounds great. I look forward to coming back. Thank you.
Okay. And now we'd like to welcome Susan Guiasta with the City of Ames. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Mike. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's kind of a pleasant morning. Pleasant out there. It was foggy when we drove in, but looks like the sun's shining right now out that way. I see Kaylee Barrios-Lane is also going to be joining us this morning. Before we visit with her, what have you got for us?
Well, just a reminder that today is our first regularly scheduled July City Council meeting. So, as always, you can get the agenda for today's meeting on our website, cityofames.org. Just look for City Council and you can find the schedule. You can find past meetings. You can find recordings of previous meetings, and you can see the current agenda, which you can pull up on your computer and get all the supplemental information. That's all the information that staff has put together regarding each action item. Should be a good meeting tonight. Lots of good topics on there, including an update on the reinvestment district. That's the plan to build an indoor aquatic center along Lincoln Way and where we stand with that process in getting some funding from the state of Iowa. So there'll be just an overview of that. If you're interested in swimming, particularly indoor swimming, you might want to tune in. Our council meetings are in person now, so that will be at the City Hall Council Chambers, 515 Clark. If you're not comfortable coming to the meeting and you are just interested in information seeking, you can always watch our meetings on our YouTube station, Ames Channel 12, or on Facebook, City of Ames. You cannot participate that way, but you certainly can watch and get a sense of the discussion. Those are two ways that you can get the meeting. If you're a MediaCom subscriber, you can watch it on Ames Channel 12 on your MediaCom channel.
Now, Susan, are those archived so folks can go back if they did miss that meeting?
Yes, all the meetings are archived on our website. Go to cityofames.org, look for Channel 12. There's a meeting archive not only of the City Council meetings, but all the meetings that are held in the City Council chambers. So if you're looking for planning and zoning or historic preservation, which was last night, you can go back and see those meetings as well. And it's great for sort of historical context. If you missed discussion at an earlier meeting, each meeting is divided with the agenda, so you can jump specifically to that topic. If you want to only watch number 7, you can jump to number 7 on the video archive and just watch the item that you're interested in.
Oh, that sounds great. Useful piece of information. Thank you. Kaylee, what have you got for us today? What's the electrifying thing today as far as what's going on?
We are this summer committing to getting our residents and our customers more opportunity to interact with electric vehicles. Electric vehicles are one of the best techniques we have to lower our greenhouse gas emissions because they do emit so much less than gasoline vehicles. So in order to get people opportunities to touch them, to see them, to drive them, to sit in them, we have some events coming up. One of them is on Tuesday, July 20th, that's next week, is the ribbon cutting event for our very first DC fast charger in Ames from 3 to 4:30. That's at the Come and Go off of Dayton Avenue in the parking lot of Elisteca. We will also have some food, a little nacho bar set up from Elisteca during that event. And then we have farmers markets coming up. We'll be at the last farmers market of each month, July, August, September, and October. So the next one coming up will be July 31st, of course. And then August 28th, we already have the specific vehicles scheduled who will be there. We'll have some Tesla Model 3s and Model Ys. So we're looking forward to that. Those vehicles will also be at the July 20th ribbon cutting. And we also are celebrating the 125th anniversary of the electric utility this year. So public power is a more and more unique thing, you know, as the world is changing and things are getting bigger and bigger utilities are kind of swallowing up areas of the country. And Ames is one of those utilities that's held strong, and we've done, you know, really incredible, sustainable, local things, unique things with our waste-to-energy system. And we're working on food waste diversion now. A lot to celebrate in our 125 years of history. We'll have some cupcakes and a little event at the Ames History Museum starting at noon on Wednesday, July 21st. Did you get all that? Did you have your calendar out writing down?
Oh, we were writing copious notes here, but I just want to comment a little bit on that 125 years with the city municipal power station. That kudos, a tip of the hat to the ladies of Ames at the time, because, you know, that was, I think, the first time they were allowed to vote, and I would have to think that they were very forward-thinking in thinking about electricity and the importance to our future and development. So, yeah, that's great. Anything else, Kaylee?
That's everything that I have on my radar. If people have questions about the electric vehicle, the summer of electric vehicles, and all of the opportunities that we have for people to test drive those vehicles, you can give me a call. My phone number is 515-239-5177, or you can check out our EV page on our website. That's cityofames.org/EV.
If you could give your phone number one more time, please.
It's 515-239-5177.
Okay. And you were breaking up there a little bit, but did you say we could test drive the Teslas?
Yes. We'll have opportunities to, you can sit in it, touch it, go for a ride along if you prefer that, if you prefer to just have the dealer drive it. But they will also be available for test drives.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think somebody's going to try to get there. That's for sure.
Good. You know, we have a really active sort of EV community in Ames. I'm always impressed by how Kaylee has tapped into that growing EV trend. And I hope it's not a trend. I hope it's something that really takes hold and takes root here in Ames, because EVs seemed like they were kind of, you know, just unusual. And now they're becoming so much more commonplace. I have two neighbors that have them. I have a hybrid. I think EV is the next step. And I think these events where you're allowed to kind of, yeah, like Kaylee said, touch them, look at them, examine them, it makes you feel a lot more comfortable about seeing yourself. How does this fit, you know, into your life? And I think people would be impressed by how well electric vehicles fit into their lives, particularly if they're just going around town. I mean, that isn't even an issue. And as we build the infrastructure across the country, they're becoming more and more practical and just a viable option for people to use for transportation and a much friendlier way to get around.
Definitely a much much friendlier to our environment, that's for sure. And if you think back even 20 years ago, how many folks did you know at that time who were driving the hybrids? And now look how many you see on the on our streets here in the city. And I would hope that we're going to see much more of a progression towards those EVs. We need it. That's for sure, if we want to live in a sustainable community. So thank you, Kaylee. Thank you, Susan. We'll join in with you again real soon, and enjoy the day.
All right. Thank you.
Tail, tail, daylight come and me want go home. Day, me say 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 day. Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and I drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day, he's a day, oh. A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and daylight come and me want go home.
Day, is a day, is a day, is a day.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day-o.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day, me say 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 day.
Daylight come and me want go home.
We want to welcome Anna Banana. What have you got for our listeners this morning, Anna?
Well, I got the whole song, the whole banana today. I love it. Yep. It is Tune In Tuesday as I try and tempt you to listen to KHOI. Now, Mike Metz, what did one raindrop say to the other?
Splash.
Well, that's a good answer, but wrong. Two's company, three's a cloud. Now, while this raindrop may have thought two's company and three's a cloud, this is not the case on the Donna Lana Kitchen Show. Two dynamic hosts will welcome Maggie Norton from Practical Farmers of Iowa to talk about rain, water, aquifers, drought, and climate change. They will ask, how does all this affect food production and distribution? And what can we expect? And most importantly, what can we do? Now, before joining the Practical Farmers of Iowa staff, Maggie completed her Master of Science in Rural Sociology and Sustainable Agriculture at Iowa State University. Her research included extensive interviews with agriculture stakeholders in Northwest Iowa to explore diverse perspectives on groundwater scarcity and management. Now, I'm going to sound smart among the crowd today because I'm going to read a little excerpt of her 2019 Iowa State University thesis. She wrote this: in the absence of robust institutions to guide resource management and water user behaviors, uncertainty flourishes and a set of assumptions have filled the institutional gap. Three assumptions were pervasive among stakeholder groups. Water scarcity is a concern for other regions or states, not water-rich Iowa. And two previously mentioned rural water systems are a reliable safety net, and livestock producers confirm water availability prior to expansion or new construction. And it is true that Iowa is a water-rich state. And she cites these interviews. In Iowa experienced a significant flooding event and above-average rainfall. Stakeholders struggle to recognize the vulnerability of groundwater in relation to demand and distribution systems in northwest Iowa, possibly because of its invisible nature as opposed to surface water. The water-rich perception contradicts the drought and resiliency planning mission. Ooh, did I sound smart or what? Yeah, thanks, Maggie Norton from Practical Farmers of Iowa and the Donna Lana Kitchen Show. Now, again, what is this Donna Lana Kitchen Show? The Donna Lana Kitchen Show talks about food, farming, recipes, advice, and opinions. Chef Donna and Farmer Lana explore the local food scene with lively discussion and good humor on when? That's right, Tuesdays at noon, and then repeated again at 7 p.m. Now, speaking of being smart, Mike Metz, what do you call a dinosaur that got stuck in the rain?
A diamond in the rain.
Ooh, that's a good one, but nope. It's a Gyptoculus. So will you and Sam Warmly talk about the Gyptoculus on Science Bites?
Well, first, I don't know how to pronounce that without seeing it first. Actually, like most things, we're going to talk about we're going to move along today in Science Bites, so our discussion will center around kinetic energy and the impact that it has on many of our daily activities. And it's interesting that you talked about raindrops and things like that and clouds. Well, there's kinetic energy there, and we'll actually... We'll be a little fuzzy because we do talk about clouds a little bit and the drops that fall from them. You know, because of the gravity of the situation, it's an important force.
Right. Well, again, I did a little bit of research because I knew what you were going to talk about. And let me put on my science reporter voice. Here I go. This potential and kinetic energy explained by Terra Energy. No joke, that's her name, Terra Energy. And she writes this: is sound energy potential or kinetic? Sound can be considered both forms of energy at the same time, though the primary way we experience it is in kinetic form. Sound energy in air, which is produced from longitudinal waves that create motion and gas molecules, is kinetic. In solids and liquids, which carry sound much further than through air, this is both kinetic and potential energy at work. This brought to you by science reporter Terra Energy, as read by Anna Banana. So, after you're listening to Mike Metz and Sam Warmly sound off about what they know about science with listeners, you can check out the Heart to Heart Messages show at 8:30 tonight. The second Tuesday of the month is always reserved for Keisha Beasley and Angie Weekly to share how their personal and professional experiences are connected to their own personal faith journeys. So you can tune into a heart to heart conversation that promises to bring laughter, information, and inspiration to your listening ears. Now, I have a joke and lyrics I'm guessing will be part of an upcoming show. Let's see if we can guess. And I dedicate this song to all those that are fellow procrastinators. Don't want to wait till tomorrow. Why put it off another day? One more walk through problems. Build up and stands in our way. Ah, one step ahead, one step behind me. Now you got to run to get even. Make future plans or dream about yesterday. Hey, come on, turn this thing around. All right, Can you guess that song, My Mex, from that reading of the lyrics?
You know, I'm not going to take a guess at that one. You've confused me a little, so I'm going to turn it over to our music aficionado, Mike Murphy.
That's Love is a Many Splendid Thing.
I thought so, too.
All three, Pat, Mike, and Mike. Wrong. Dun-dun-dun-dun. So you'll have to find out some other time what that song is through that confusion. Now, Mike Murphy. Yes. What do you call a camper driving through frozen rain?
Reckless?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Nope, it's Van Halen. Now, will we hear Van Halen? I don't know which of the lead singers you'll pick, but will we hear any of Van Halen on You Name It this Thursday?
We will not hear any Van Halen this week. No Van Halen will be used during this week's program. And this week's program is For the Birds, a collection of bird songs. I've never been so enthused about birds since I've been in Iowa. And probably that has a lot to do with a couple guys I'm in the room here with. They know everything there is to know about birds. In fact, I call them my bird brains. And so I've enjoyed the bird songs that I hear while I'm out in nature, and so now I thought I'd return the favor and play songs about birds.
You know, Anna, he has gotten to the habit where he never travels without his binoculars now, too.
So can you give us, like, a sneak preview? Are we going to listen to, like, the Robin song? Are we going to hear, like, actual bird songs or songs about birds?
Songs about birds. Songs in tribute to birds. Yeah. But we won't be hearing from the birds or the eagles.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, because I used to have in my grandparents' house a bird clock that each hour there would be a different bird song.
Right, I've seen those.
So I was wondering if that's what's going to happen.
There will be you will hear actual birds during the show.
Okay.
Except here in Iowa.
Yeah, there was one, though, that it can no longer make his program. Apparently, it unfortunately was run over by the push mower, and it's shredded tweet now.
Oh, dear. Well, let's move on from that.
Yeah, a lot of people's breakfast ruined just now.
Thursday at 2, songs about birds.
That's right.
Let's go back. All right, let's bring it back to Pat. So, Pat, when does it rain money?
It rains money for every month that has the fourth Sunday, you can expect money to sprout from the money tree.
Okay, good answer. But, okay, when does it rain money? The answer I was looking for is when there is change in the weather.
Oh.
Now, don't you be changing the channel. You stay tuned to KHOI out there to listen to great programming like Pianos and Beyond with Tom Russell this morning after Local Talk, the Don Alana Kitchen Show, You Name It. And I always forget Community Bookshelf, but it comes right before Heart to Heart Messages. And I always love listening to the interviews and whatever Mary Richards is presenting on Community Bookshelf. Heart to Heart Messages and Science Bites, to just name a few of your listening options on KHOI to make your day and evening a great one. Now, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but it's getting close to the time to end this Tune In Tuesday Heart to Heart message, but I see I've got a little bit of time. So how about I read a heart to heart message that comes from this random acts of kindness for our listeners. What do you think, Mike? Do we have time?
Yes, we do. It sounds great.
Yeah, so this is about summer camp. So when I was 10 years old, not me, the writer, I went to summer camp for the first time. That school year had been very difficult for me for reasons I never understood. I had become the girl everyone loved to tease. Well, maybe that is me. I was isolated, called names, and even beat up as I walked home from school. But I was excited about summer camp and vowed to make everyone there like me. Well, it happened again. 3 days in a camp, and a couple of girls snuck into my suitcase while I was in the shower and threw my underwear all over the cabin. The counselors did their best to console me, but I was hysterical and couldn't understand why everyone hated me. A couple nights later, one of our campfire sing-alongs, I was sitting alone. I enjoyed singing, and we were doing this beautiful John Denver song that really comforted me. I sat there singing quietly to myself when an older camper from California came over and asked if she could sit by me. It made me feel so special. Here was this older girl who wanted to sit by me. They were handing out awards that night, and I was hoping for the Songbird Award. Maybe sing the Songbird Award on Mike Murphy's show, you name it, this Thursday, and went again to the best singer at camp. When it went to another girl who happened to sing much louder than I did, I was devastated. Then my new friend sitting beside me announced to everyone, Angela has a beautiful voice too. It felt so good to have someone give me a compliment in front of everyone. She also told me that she wanted to sit next to me because she loved to hear me singing and thought I was the nicest girl at camp. I don't remember her name, and I never saw her again after that summer, but I know I never thanked her properly for the wonderful kindness she showed to me. So we're doing that right now. So whoever that kind camper was, thank you for being, spreading kindness and joy to others, and hope you do that as well to all you local listeners on Tune It In Tuesday. So back to you, Mike Metz.
Well, thank you, Anna. Those were some delightful messages that you shared with us. And we just thought that, you know, you just brighten our day. So you brighten the listener's day. Thank you very much. Thanks, Anna. Pat.
You have been listening to Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio. Remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. Our website is khoifm.org. KHOY provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOY. KHOY is community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media.
This program is produced by Lynn Carey and Ursula Rudenberg. A tip of the chapeau to our engineer, Mike Murphy. And you heard from Erica Place with Story County Conservation, Susan Guiasta and Kaylee Barrios Lane with the City of Ames, and some of the other voices included Steve Lekwa, retired Story County Conservation Director, and Craig Myers, the current Story County Conservation Board Chair. I have been your host, Mike Metz.
Please consider becoming a member and making KHOY your community radio station with your financial support. Become the community in community radio. Go to our website at khoifm.org and press the yellow donate button to begin the process of becoming a member.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Stay tuned for Democracy Now!, all things piano. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOY meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOY. And
we'll see you again on the radio.